The Jesse Blake Sports Report with Jesse Blake.
JT Miller is a New York Ranger. And in the way we all kind of thought it was going to play out, JT Miller lands at the most logical landing point for JT Miller, and that is the New York Rangers. And I'm live on YouTube right now. If you are hearing this afterwards on the audio feed of the Jesse Blake Sports Report, or just on YouTube afterwards as the live video posts, I'm live right now. And as I am talking to you all, we are getting the trade details and everything is coming out. So when I hit live to talk to you all, I don't know the full details, and I'm going to experience this with everyone out there. So we know that JT Miller is going to the Rangers, and we know that Victor Mancini was scratched, so he's also a part of the deal. But now we have it fully fledged out. I'm going to read this tweet from BR Open Ice. They are quoting Brooksy, Larry Brooks of the New York Post. JT Miller is going to the New York Rangers, and Eric Brandstrom, Jackson Dorrington, and that's it. Those three pieces are going to the New York Rangers. Miller, Brandstrom, Dorrington. To the Canucks, Filip Hedl, who seemed like a logical piece in this trade. Victor Mancini, and a first-round pick protected. And that's it. Initial reaction. I'm a little disappointed for Vancouver, but what can you do when your hands are tied behind your back? It's not the best haul for a guy who is an absolute competitor and can easily turn the New York Rangers back into a playoff team. So let's pull up the standings right now. The New York Rangers currently sit a little bit out of the playoffs, 5 points out of the playoffs. Columbus holds the second wildcard spot with 57 points. The New York Rangers currently sit with 50 games played. Columbus has 51 games played at 52 points. So they're five back, but the thing about being five back is that there are four teams in between the Rangers and the Blue Jackets. We got the Canadiens at 53 points, the Islanders at 53, the Red Wings at 55, who are playing really well. They're on a four-game winning streak, and the Boston Bruins at 56 points, who are the Boston Bruins, but are not the Boston Bruins this season. I feel like it's okay. It's an okay return for the Vancouver Canucks. It's not the greatest. New York, though, I think did a fantastic job mixing it up here with a group that felt stale, with a piece in Hedl that you can tell they always felt was expendable. I'm bringing up their cap friendly. This is going to take years to get out of my system here. Pulling up their Puckpedia page right now so we get a full picture of the salary cap implications. Hedl's at $4.4375 for this year and the following season. So he's got 1 year left. No, 2 years left. He's in year two of four. My bad. 2 years left at 4.4. So there's cost control for the Vancouver Canucks where they're getting a center. And that's what they always wanted. They wanted a center in this deal, and Hedl is the one they have to accept. And the other piece, because they're swapping the worst centerman, right? On the surface here, we'll start with the Canucks side of things. On the surface here, you're swapping the worst center. So JT Miller, better than Filip Hedl. We all know that. It's a thing. So to make this deal possible for the Canucks, they said you got to throw in Victor Mancini, who is a project defenseman. He's a prospect that They're hoping it turns into something fairly soon because the competitive window for the Vancouver Canucks is right now. Let's take a look at Victor Mancini's numbers. He was playing down in the A for the Rangers. So fifth round pick in 2022. Regular seasons got 15 goals or 15 games played. 15 goals would be incredible. 15 games played up with the big club. One goal, four assists. People have been pretty high on Mancini. I don't know if that's enough for you to justify getting rid of JT Miller. And then we have the protected first round pick. So that's the Vancouver side first glance at things. Second side is the New York Rangers, where I said you always felt that Hedl was expendable. They weren't using Mancini at the NHL level, so you're not pulling any D off your roster there. They also get Erik Brännström, which is something they desperately need in terms of depth defenseman. Brännström's going to be very useful for the Rangers there. And let's just take a look at the contract. Do they have Brännström? See, Puckmedia is all of this in real time, so I don't know where all the players are sitting. I guess I got to just search Erik Brännström. Oh, there we go. Brännström player. Okay, so they already switched him over to the Rangers. Awesome. Brännström's making $900K this season, is an RFA expiry. So he's not even a UFA at the end of this season. He's an RFA. So there's cost control for the New York Rangers, which is great. Like I said, they need depth defensemen for a first round pick. I always forget that Brännström was taken the first round by the Vegas Golden Knights, who never keep first round picks. Three goals, five assists. That's 8 points for the Vancouver Canucks in 28 games so far this season. And I don't have the details on the protections on the first round pick. Maybe somebody in the chat can let me know what if they have the protections out for the first round pick. And Jackson Dorrington, the last piece of the puzzle, sixth round draft pick for the Vancouver Canucks back in 2022. The very, very deep prospect there that the Rangers are also getting feels like a bit of a throw-in, and I don't think it's consequential to the outcome on how you feel about this trade. How I'm looking at it, those are all the particulars. Those are all the particulars. The New York Rangers upgraded from Filip Hedl to JT Miller, and that's it. In terms of roster, they upgraded from Hedl to Miller. And as a Rangers fan, how can you not be excited about that? I think that is great. I think on the surface, we'll see how it plays out in real life on the ice, but that's what they upgraded. And I'm not thinking about the pick right now. I'm just talking about the on ice for this season, because it's win now mode for the New York Rangers. All season long, they've been in win now mode because of how they finished last season, the playoffs, getting to the conference finals and then dropping that series in six to Florida. Their aspirations this season were, okay, we're going to build on that. We're going to try and win a Stanley Cup. And they're out of the playoffs right now, as we talked about. And now it's about getting back in. And this is a great upgrade for them. We'll go back to the Vancouver side. Lyndon Wong says, if it's a top 13 pick, then it becomes an unprotected first for next year's draft. Okay, so we do have the details on the first round pick that is going from the Rangers to the Canucks. The chat is letting me know. Thank you, chat. Hello. Happy Friday. Dragon Flare 98 says top 13 protected, and then Lyndon there has the particulars on the protections. Top 13 pick, if it's top 13, then becomes unprotected for the next year's draft. So I don't think that's a top 13 pick. I think the Vancouver Canucks will probably get the first round pick this year. Windy City Hockey says, I feel this is bad trade for the Rangers. I disagree. I disagree in that in this in this environment where they are, they have Stanley Cup aspirations, upgrading from Hedl to Miller is great. And that's how I'm looking at this swap, because first round picks are irrelevant when you're trying to win right now. That first round pick doesn't help them in the year 2025 to win the Stanley Cup. And that's the singular goal for this team, despite how it's gone all year, despite where they are currently on the standings. That goal has not changed. The long term for the Rangers, maybe it's a little different, but with the salary cap going up and Miller making a decent contract, like, I don't think it's trouble at all fitting Miller in on the salary cap. $8 million for the next, after this season, it's 1, 2, 3 more seasons. You're paying $8 million for a center like JT Miller is definitely value. He's always been on a great contract. And we'll hop over back to the Vancouver side, who it's been, what an awful season it's been for them. Like, truly. Truly, you come into this season with such high hopes coming off of last year, where you are so darn close to beating the Edmonton Oilers and getting into the Western Conference Finals. You enter this year, and the thing with Miller and Pettersson that has been bubbling for years now boils over, and nobody in the organization can take it anymore. I think this is a complete mismanagement by the Vancouver Canucks as an organization as a whole, from the ownership to the general, to the president, Jim Rutherford, to the general manager and Patrick Alvin, to the head coach and Rick Tocchet, in that they couldn't make this work. And I genuinely thought for a second there in December-ish range, when we're over the Christmas break, we come back in January, this trade's still not made. There's some they're talking to a lot of teams. We think it's going to go here and there, but I genuinely thought there was a chance this trade waits until the draft, waits until the offseason. And at that point, you can get a lot more than Hedl and a first. In the offseason, and Mancini, in the offseason, everybody thinks they're in it. Everybody thinks they can win it for next season, and everybody has salary cap space because you can go over the salary cap in the offseason. Plus, the salary cap is going up, so there's more teams to play with. And it also gives the advantage of playing out the season to see if Pettersson and Miller are a failure on the ice in a season that's definitely disappointing. And you'll see, like, okay, this thing really didn't work all year long. Let's move it now. But they chose to do it now. And I guess because it became untenable in the locker room, in the dressing room, that's my guess as to why they do it now. I think they definitely took one of the, it's not the worst offer out there, because I don't know the offers. Getting Nietzsche's from Carolina might look better if that was on the table from Carolina, as opposed to getting Hedl. Like, I think that would be a lot better, but I don't know the particulars of what a Carolina deal would have looked like. So I'm speaking out of turn there. I don't like it on the surface, because you are losing the best player in the deal. That's never how you want to go. That's never how you want to finish a trade negotiation, is giving up the best player and not getting enough in return to justify that for a team that should also, like the Rangers, be in win-now mode because of where they came off last season, because of the expectations. Now, injuries have hurt this team like crazy. Like, that's the reality of this team, is that injuries really, really buried this team, where having Hronek out for so long, having Demko out for so long, having Dakota Joshua out and then back in and then out, and I know Kiefer Sherwood has been out for a little bit now, and it's ruined this team, and the coaching there and Rick Tocchet hasn't been able to coach this team into somebody that can sustain all of those injuries. So they've had this season where they currently sit out of a playoff spot. And for Vancouver, like, the three-game winning streak, too, hasn't allowed them to pass Calgary either. They're 5-5 in their last 10. They've won 3 in a row, but Calgary's 6-4 in their last 10. And Calgary currently sits in that second wild card spot, while Vancouver sits 1 point out of the playoffs with the same amount of games played as the Calgary Flames. And look out now for the Utah Hockey Club, who are right behind the Canucks at 50 points, 6 points back, but they have been playing. But they could always go on a run. I think they have a little pieces to go on a run, even though they're 4-5-1 in the last 10 games. I like what I've been seeing about out of the Utah Hockey Club lately, but it's really a two-horse race for that last spot if we're looking at it right now. And Calgary, who is bolstering up their team with the deal yesterday, sending out Kuzmenko and making that swap with the Flyers. The Calgary Flames are only going to get better here down the stretch, where it looks like Craig Conrad is going to reward that team for playing above where they were expected to be. So they're going to be getting better down the stretch. It's only going to get tougher for Vancouver here. And I'm not the biggest fan of the return. So let's check out what your thoughts are.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We got T.A. Neiman, who says Canuck fans posting in the Canucks Army Live are basically all saying they got screwed here with this trade. Doesn't sound like they are happy. And I don't blame them. How can you, on the surface, look at this trade and say we're better than we were yesterday? Like, you can't be honest about that trade. And you can say, for the sake of personalities and the media storm that's going on in Vancouver, we're better in that way, that this whole saga is over. But you can't say we're better if the players on the team are worse. And this isn't disrespect to Filip Hedl, but we know that Hedl isn't Miller, and they're the ones who have swapped Hedl for Miller. And Victor Mancini will be a great help on the back end, where Vancouver definitely needs it. This also, to me, I don't know if I should fully go here, but Rick Tocchet can't be long for Vancouver. This is as much as a failure on him that he couldn't get his dressing room in order. He doesn't have a contract for next season. I believe they both have options. There's a team option and a coach option, so they'd both have to pick it up. He wasn't able to coach this team to success in a season where if you could really get this team to play a certain style of hockey that can mask what they lacked on the ice, your coaching legacy is cemented. Like, if you could get through everything they've had to go through and still win games, like sign Tocchet to a 10-year deal, but he couldn't do that. And I wonder if through all of this, the absolute headache this season, these 50 games for the Canucks have been, spells the end for Tocchet in Vancouver, and what that means for Jim Rutherford and his failure to get this organization in order. They had one good year. The Bruce Boudreau tenure ended so poorly, and then Rick Tocchet comes in and everything's great because he has them playing a great style of hockey that shut down. And now this team can't hold a lead they can't do it, and they haven't been able to do it all season long. And that's a lot on coaching. Quinn Hughes is a one-man wrecking show out there. If you watch any Canucks games, it's just him. It's him out there on an island making every offensive play for this team, making every defensive play for this team. And hockey's not a sport where you play the whole darn game. You know, he's only out there for so much. And Quinn Hughes is on an island all by himself. We got muted, who says, We are cooked. I assume you are a Vancouver Canucks fan. We got Cody 1307 who says, if I were a Canucks fan, I wouldn't be happy either. No matter who's at fault here, this trade isn't great. Adam Joss says, what does this mean for the Leafs? All right, let's do that. Let's do what does this mean for the Toronto Maple Leafs? And then we'll wrap up here because I've been going for nearly 20 minutes now. So what does this mean for the Leafs? It means the East got better. It means that if the New York Rangers can find themselves into the first wild card spot, we could get a first round matchup between the New York Rangers and Toronto Maple Leafs. And imagine you're the Leafs and you work all season long to get a good position in the standings, and then you wind up winning the division. And you got to face the second wild card team because I'm going to assume the Metro team is going to win the Eastern Conference, and the Leafs win the Atlantic, and they got to face the New York Rangers, who could be like going a crazy tear here with the JT Miller bump. So I think that's what it means for the Leafs. Also, the Leafs are in Vancouver next Saturday, so we get Leafs Toronto media storm a week after Vancouver makes this trade. That's what it means for the Toronto Maple Leafs. We got TJ says, need an ISO cam on Petey to catch him grinning, hearing about this trade. So I think that's something we should touch on before we leave. Elias Pettersson, you better step it up. Like, if you listen to the Chris Johnston show, part of SDPN. If you listen to Chris Johnston's show, Chris went in. I want to say for Chris CJ's standards, he went in on Elias Pettersson in saying that this is his fault too, because he hasn't performed up to $11.5 million, which is a high price to be paid to be putting up very little offensive production. It's not just this season. It goes into the playoffs. It goes into the end of last season. You better put up now. Like, it's put up or shut up. You have no complaints. The guy you hated to his core is gone. They chose you right now over JT Miller. You got to show up. And you got to start performing like you are an $11.5 million player. That's it. That's the end of discussion. You must do that now. So that is fascinating to watch. Let's check the Vancouver Canucks schedule here to see who exactly they play. They play the Stars tonight in 3 minutes. That is awesome. That is awesome. We all get to leave this live and go watch the Canucks play the Stars and see Elias Pettersson get a hat trick, because that's probably what's going to happen. Any more questions from the chat? We can probably leave it there. Once again, also, shout out Robert Malloy. Shout out Robert Malloy for always being there. He dropped in the chat here, JT Miller, Eric Brännström, Jackson Dorrington to the New York Rangers. The Vancouver Canucks get Filip Hedl, Victor Mancini, 2025 first round pick, top 13 protected, no salary retained on Miller. That's it for me right now. Thank you for being here. This is the second Friday in a row that a giant trade has broken. Last Friday, I was in London with Adam Wilde, and we were at the Ivy Business Sports Leadership Conference, and the Marty Nietzsche's Mika Rantanen trade dropped, and we did a mini live stream on this channel last Friday. And then now, again, Friday, we get another huge NHL trade. Stop leaving trades till Fridays. Do this during the middle of the week, during the day, before we record the Steve Dangle podcast, so we can actually react to it on the podcast and we don't have to wait till Mondays. But I do love hopping on these live streams with you. So if you want to do them in the evening, GMs, go ahead. I will stop yelling at you. But I probably won't stop yelling at you. All right, that's it. That's it for me right now. Thank you for being here. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you chose to be watching or listening right now. And I appreciate you for that. March 22nd. Aaron writes, the Rangers and Canucks play each other. That's going to be one hell of a game. Good night from Toronto.
And that is how it's done.
The Jesse Blake Sports Report with Jesse Blake.
Jesse Blake, the guy that likes to hear his name twice in one sentence. Sure, I know him. No, he doesn't have an ego at all.